Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book, In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
How's it look? Do I sound okay?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out. Three brand new ones every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the series a rating. Leave a review if you feel so inspired. That always helps out so much. We've had some great guests on lately. Tom Bailey of the Thompson Twins was just here. Comedian Joe Gatto from Impractical Jokers. David Miller from Il Divo. Grace Cummings. Sebastian Bach, formerly of Skid Row. Actress Amber Shardy Robinson from Palm Royale on Apple TV+. Prentice Penny produced Black Twitter, A People's History, out now on Hulu. Comedian Matt Matthews was here. Maya Hawk dropped by to talk about her new movie, Wildcat. And we started off the month with Spike Ferriston, who co-wrote Unfrosted with Jerry Seinfeld. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with Modi, the stand-up comedian. He's got a new special called Know Your Audience that we're going to dig into. He'll tell us how he made his way from investment banking in the 90s to stand-up comedy, studying Alan King's style, as well as finding his own voice and coming at the art form from a Jewish perspective. In fact, Modi's going to discuss the tricky nature of joking during the Israel-Palestine war going on. He'll also recount the nightmare of doing Zoom shows during the pandemic and the background of his podcast. And here's Modi. All of that and more. This special is called Know Your Audience. It's Kyle Meredith with Modi.
How are you? So good to be on. Wow, what a great, how you do that. The introduction is so good. On my podcast, when I sit there with a guest, I fumble and mumble and, amazing. Bravo on the introduction. Good.
You know what that is? That is now 6 years of saying the exact same thing, except the name.
Okay.
And I don't know if you like this, but even though the rest of it is just like, that's a muscle memory. I've got the name next to me. And we've talked about it. It doesn't matter who I'm talking to. It's like, and I'm going to fumble on the name, though. It could be my mom, and I would feel like that I'm going to mess it up now. I've gotten this far, all this, and I'm going to right there at the end.
Well, like you introduced your own show amazingly. That's a big thing. Sometimes when they do an introduction to somebody, it sounds like they're doing. I've literally walked on stage and grabbed the mic out of somebody's hand while they're introducing me, because it literally sounds like a hesped, a eulogy. Like it's a eulogy. Like, what are you saying? You've seen him or you haven't seen him. Here he is, Modi. That's all you got to say.
We feel so bad today.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you first, the new special, Know Your Audience, was so funny. And I do say that coming from non-Jewish person. And that's, I mean, that's the trick of it, right? You named it, you must have named it Know Your Audience for a reason. Maybe we should start there. Like, because it is, this is, you know, you have a very Jewish personality in your comedic personality.
Yeah.
But you still find ways to play to everyone. How do you do that?
It's from working in at places like the Comedy Cellar, where it's a diverse crowd from all over the world in one room. And then you do private Jewish events and you do your own show where people are coming just to see you, where it's Jews that bring, like, you got to see this guy. It's funny. Just like you see Chris Rock. You see Chris Rock, you have a portal into the world of the black world and what they go through and what they experience. And this is the same thing. It's a portal into the Jewish world through laughter and pride, and people, you know, love it. And I was a big fan of Jackie Mason, and I always saw that he was true to his audience and the rest followed. You know, he had a Broadway show for 3 years where people nonstop, and it wasn't all Jews, but he was so Jewish.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about some of your influences before. And besides Jackie, you mentioned Don Rickles. And we in our house, we have a running, I don't want to say joke because I don't want to break my wife's heart, but the joke is he's still alive and he's her best friend. So I can never, ever say that Don Rickles has died. So he's very much alive in our house. So that's when I heard you say that was sort of...
What's her connection to Don Rickles that she can't let it go?
You're in a relationship, quirky things coming and long running jokes, you know, will start to happen. But I hadn't heard anyone bring him up lately. When I heard you saying like he was a bit of an influence on you as well, I was like, oh, that's, I love hearing that.
Yeah.
Because I can tell that part of you as well. It's especially in the way that you work the audience.
Yeah. And it's, he was a little bit of a shock value type of a thing. He was, edgy in a racy, little racist, racy way sometimes. Not sure you can get away with it today, or you want to. It's not necessary. But he was, it was spontaneous. It was fast. It was quick. It was an eye gesture. It was so strong. It was amazing. I learned so much by watching him.
Yeah. It's so your background, and that's where it gets interesting to me, how you ended up where you ended up. Because as your story goes, you got into banking, right? It was banking first. And then you had some friends that kind of pushed you into doing some stand-up and it worked. And
this is like 30 years ago. I was at investment banking at Merrill Lynch. And it was the international division. I used to come home and hang out with my friends, you know, and imitate all of the secretaries that I worked with. And my friends were like, this is so funny. You should be doing this on stage. And they set up an open mic night. And I showed up from work and I had a suit and the whole thing on. And I did it, and it was like the owner of the club said, you should work on this, and I caught the bug, and I was working both jobs for a while, and then like 5 years later, no, like six years, I quit full-time. I was become full-time comic. I was really a full-time comic before. I was working every night and every weekend. I was on the road, and then the bank, and then I quit, and with no regrets, happy as hell, yeah.
Well, that's it. So once it happens,
there are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer. Save big money
at Menards. You said you get the bug. Like, does it? Do you find your natural voice? Do you start, you know, studying the masters? Like what happened there?
So it's interesting you say study the masters. So So this is, you're talking about 1994-5. There was no YouTube and there was no Instagram and Facebook. I sound so old right now, but I fell in love with a comedian. Now keep in mind, I wasn't in the comic world. I never wanted to be a comedian. I never watched comics and was a huge fan. Once in a while, HBO aired George Carlin. They aired Bill Cosby. They aired, you know, whatever they aired. That's what I caught, you know, because it was on HBO. I was never a huge fan. But then I saw Alan King, which resonated so much to me. His cadence and styling. And I said, how do I watch this? And there was on 52nd Street, there's the Museum of Broadcast and Film, where you literally had to go and like say, I want to get all of the, and they put you up in a little booth, and they, and you can watch all of the, everything he ever did. And his cadence and his timing and his pride and his elegance. And it's like, he comes from a place of wealth, not a place of I'm starving artist. It's like, I said, this is it. And now it's like the styling that I really, really copy the most.
That's a funny. And then finding your own voice in that. I mean, once you.
So finding your own voice, just to keep in mind, when I first started doing comedy, it was all these over the top secretaries and characters, the Latin secretary, the gay secretary, I was a Portuguese, I was doing all these, it was so over the top. And then when you begin to find your voice, the voice became very Jewish, very, very Jewish. Once you calm down a little bit, and once you begin to get your cadence and what's happening, the voice started coming out and it became very Jewish. And it was a gift, because then I was able to work all kinds of Jewish gigs, and I was always clean. So I got all kinds of corporate world work. I had a stint where I was doing all the comedy clubs with a group of Howard Stern guys, Stuttering John. And all. So I got to experience the comedy club world too, but I was very blessed that I was able to do corporate gigs and Jewish gigs, and, you know, a little better than just doing, you know, Uncle Chuckles at in Des Moines, you know, for from Thursday to Sunday.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Modi. You have this benefit of sort of having a built-in audience. Like, I'm thinking like Christian musicians, like Christian rock stars have a built-in. It doesn't matter how good the song is. You have the people still clap. That doesn't work that way with comedy. You still have to be funny. But here it is, like the room is still packed.
Oh, yeah. You have to be a built-in Jewish audience is one thing, but now it's a Jewish audience. If you go up there with some horrible jokes, they will let you know that your jokes are horrible. There's not a it'll be built until you don't, until they're not your audience. But thank God you saw the special. They love it. I'm so blessed with my audience, and so blessed that now I have non-Jews and gays. Oh my God, how amazing is that? Gays are coming to the show. That really means you've made it. That is really a sign that it's coming along.
We'll show up for you. That's
yeah.
What? So you've been doing this for a while now. I know this is the obvious question. Why did it take till now for you to finally do a special?
I will tell you, I've been doing comedy for 30 years almost, and maybe a little more. I judged my beginning of comedy when I was passed as a comedian at the Comedy Cellar, and that was in April 94. Mm-hmm. And actually in April, I'm doing two shows there to commemorate my 30th anniversary. But I always worked, I just never really aligned with a manager and an agent, and everything changed after COVID. You know, during COVID, my husband, who was, you know, we were living together, obviously, and he began to take over my career. And he found the right agent and found the right publicist and the right people to do the special with. And he put it all together. You needed help. I needed the right help. And he was that right help. And he made it all happen.
Yeah. The importance of finding a champion. You can give all the career advice, I think, that you want to. But at the end of the day, it's like most of the time, you got to find a champion. Somebody.
Yeah, you got it. You've got it. You can't do it alone. You cannot do it alone.
So you finally, this, you know, here you are. And you do the special. Do you make the choice? all new material? Do you take the chance to do some of the greatest hits?
The special was, I literally prayed for what material to put in. I wanted to show the Jewish world and the fundraising and how many events we have. And whatever the problem is, whatever the charity is, it's sad and it's not, and it's a disease, and they still bring comedy into it. It's such a Jewish perspective on the world. You know, during the war now, there's comics making jokes and having fun with it and relieving stress. I wanted to show that. I wanted to show the pride in the Jewish world, you know, with the Jewish ambulance, for example, that people see them but don't really know what the hell it is. Again, it's a portal into the Jewish world through laughter and pride. And then just, you know, over the top characters of like the honorees at these events. And then I went into my personal life, being married to my husband Leo, but it wasn't so much gay material, if you caught it. It was more being married to a millennial, because there's that big age difference we have. And then and I discussed anti-Semitism. And it, you know, we taped it actually a year and change ago. So it was like it's a little bit not dated, but I talk about COVID. You know, there's a little, and now everybody already forgot about COVID, but there's a little bit of, you know, of that sprinkled in there. And just like, you know, I'm weaving in, there was somebody in the audience that wasn't Jewish, and I'm doing the whole show, explaining the whole show to them. And, you know, there's always the token goy in the audience, the one non-Jew in the audience, or many now, but I had many to pick from to work with. And you kind of do the whole show for that person. And it's a whole element of explaining to them the joke, and that within that there's a joke.
So that's a really great talent, but that's got to be a trust fall, because how much of your show are you planning on that person being there, whoever that person is? Like, do they have to, like, God, I hope there's a non-Jew in the crowd tonight, because
no, there always
is. It works.
There always is, and they're always great, and I always give them the yarmulke at the end, and it's a whole, yeah, there always is. And if there isn't, I just keep going without doing that extra layer of explaining a joke.
Which makes it so fun, though. I mean, the extra layer, it really does. I mean, you get two laughs out of one joke right there.
Exactly, literally.
Which, by the way, you tell a joke at the beginning, you know, where God looks down and says, "You'll never believe it." And I thought, how rare it is to actually hear a comedian tell a joke.
Yeah, I sprinkle them in. They're amazing. My next hour now, I really sprinkle them in. You know, I do shows all over, and I do in Florida, the big market. And there's the Florida now is like, you have young and, hey, we moved here after COVID, we love it. And then you have like, you get in front of an audience where the average age is deceased. And like, and when you do these jokes, I could do my material and all this genius way I'm looking at everything. And then you just do a joke and they die. You see them hurling over. And you saw the in that, you know, and then you just, I massage my material into the joke and make it less of a joke, but still that punch of it.
It almost feels like a lost art. You know, that's why it shouldn't have felt it didn't feel out of place. I shouldn't have been surprised. And yet there it was. It's like, oh, wow, a joke. You know, so much as observational usually with stand up, and to actually get like, you know, a structured something is like, I loved it. I laughed and I told my wife the joke afterward, like the way you would tell a joke, you know.
Exactly. I have in my new hour that I'm working on, I have a few more of those because people just love it. Also, when they, you know, after you watch someone special and they go, oh, he talked about how the plane didn't take off, but they had a delay. I forgot what it was. But if you have a joke, I saw he had a joke that was great. And you went and you told your wife, and that was the, you know. It's like here's something to take home with you. Here's a little what's it called? A gift bag.
Right. I pass along your business card.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
You are really good at reading the audience and working the audience. Was that always a talent that you had, or is that something you developed later?
I don't know. That's why I call it know your audience. I can look out and see exactly what material to do. I can see who's laughing, who's not, who's who's, I can literally look out and see who's going, whose brain is somewhere else completely. And you can see how far you can go with whatever material you're doing, especially if you're doing Jewish material. If you're doing it at the Comedy Cellar, I don't do Jewish material, but the material I do is being presented from a Jew. And so it's, you know, but it's got to be material that they understand. It's got to be, you know, common ground.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Modi. I mean, to even pull it off, as you said, in places that you wouldn't usually do comedy and the stuff that you are doing, talking about the war. I mean, that people are justifiably very emotional about that topic. How tricky is it then to find the comedy in it?
So recently, and the comedy special, don't forget, was filmed a year ago. But now when I'm on stage, I don't talk about the war until the end. I want to give them like an hour and 10 minutes of just like, oh, just like, no, there's no, okay, we're just laughing and we're wherever he's going. And at the end, I address it with a joke. You know, when the war began, I was in Israel. I was there the day the war began, and we were staying at the Satai Hotel, and Bruno Mars was staying there as well. And we watched him being taken out to go to a private airplane and get whisked out of Israel. We had a flight on Air France that evening, but I said to my husband, I go, thank God they got him out of the hotel. And he goes, why? Because if a bomb hits this hotel and me and Bruno Mars die, I will get zero press coverage. And just little things like that. And then I bring it all a little bit more and a little bit about, you know, different anti-Semitism stuff I'm talking about. And then I sing the Hatikva with them. And you know who loves that the most? Hatikva is the Israeli national anthem. It's hope. The word means hope. And it's such an amazing song. And the people who aren't Jewish enjoy it the most.
Really? Why do you think that is?
I don't know. They DM me. I never heard the song. We Googled it. We love it. It's, the words are amazing. We were so happy you ended the show with it. You know, John McClaney. You know, it's like, out of, I'm like, what? I was doing shows on Monday after the war began. Because we flew to Paris. I had 4 sold out shows. So I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to cancel these shows. I just added that Hatikva at the end to sing that Israeli national anthem. And it was just, wow. I haven't stopped doing it. It's just been going great.
I think that's what we usually see. I mean, you even hit on that with the pandemic, with COVID, like how quickly we need comedy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You joked about how quick you were back doing shows.
COVID was, yeah, I forgot about that. No, the Jewish people were like, yeah, the pandemic and the, what's it called? The lockdown, the quarantine, wow, could you remember? Could you believe we don't remember the words anymore? The quarantine, Jews were like I was doing private shows and all of this stuff. I talk about it in the special. I forgot about that. We talk about it in the special. Yeah, Jews are like, okay, yeah, great, quarantine. We can have a little party, but so, okay. So it was funny because I was working so hard during the pandemic. We set up an entire studio in the house for Zoom shows. It was a nightmare. Do you know a Zoom show, how horrible it is to do comedy like this?
Because you get nothing in timely matter at all.
But I'll tell you a trick I learned. So I was watching Martin Scorsese did this thing with Fran Lebowitz. Did you see that?
Yeah, the show Pretend It's a City.
Yes, Pretend It's a City. I'm watching it and I go, oh my God, I got it. It's only them two. And anything she says, he bursts out laughing in a way as if he had a problem, like he might not be well. That's how hard he was laughing. So then we were doing these Zoom shows. What I'm telling you, there were over 1,000 people on the Zoom show. You know what I'm talking about? It was some organization. The organizations had to keep the members engaged. So I would do a show. I would put 3 people on the screen. The rest were muted. And I told them, you are the laugh track. Every time you hear the joke, you have to laugh like you have a problem. And it became, And I built an entire audience from New York in Australia. In England, and now I'm doing shows there. I'm doing the Palladium there. We're flying to Australia in August. From
the laugh track. That's why they always worked.
But it's a real laugh track. It's just like you and I are now. Everybody else is watching, but they only see me, the president, the rabbi, and one more person, and they're laughing. And so you don't hear cats coming in. You don't hear the doorbell ringing. It was like we had to learn how to do it. So that was during COVID. But people needed to laugh. And then we had I was very lucky because some guy who would be he was going to take his wife for her 40th birthday to Europe with all their friends and spend $2 million ended up doing a backyard party with me as the main event. So it was there's blessings in the curses. There's blessings in the... Yeah. Wow. I forgot about that. I forgot I talked about that in the special.
I'm glad it worked out. I mean, seriously.
I'm glad you got that joke. I'm glad.
There's a lot to that's. It's one of those specials that I saw once a couple days ago and immediately went, I'm going to need to watch this at least two more times. To make sure, because you do. You pack so much in there and it's so good. And there's a bit of an education to me as well in the comedy. So I always appreciate that.
That's a nice compliment. And another compliment I've been getting from people, now people are seeing this, like you, like our publicist, Rob, saw this, and he says to me, and he's represented other comedians, he said to me, this is the first special that I want my parents to see. It was like I want my parents to see this. He has other comedians that he loves that are doing great, but he goes, I wouldn't bring my parents to see them, but this I would show it to my parents.
It's a nice, some kind of compliment in there. Yeah.
I find that as a compliment. Yes.
Yeah. Right. You've also got the podcast. I want to hit that real quick. And Here's Modi. That's out there. Do you do that seasonally? Is that ongoing? Is that what's.
We do once a week. It's harder now because we're on, we're touring, but when we are in town, we do a bunch and then air them slowly. We had our 100th anniversary of And Here's Modi. We taped it at the 92nd Street Y. It was so much fun. It was such a great episode. And
congratulations on that.
Thank you. 92nd Street Y was great. And we've had some amazing guests. And it's just for fans who just want to know a little bit more about me, about our life, our shows, and then whatever guests we have, or just me interviewing them. And I never do an interview. I always watch other people's interviews with them and never ask the same questions. I had Alan Dershowitz on and we spoke about cantorial music. it's that kind of stuff.
Those are some of the best ones too. It was an early career learning lesson. So congrats on the 100th. We just taped our 900th, but I do more a week. I do more a week. So I do 3 to 4 a week that we release. And it was somewhere early on. I had never done a comedian and I had a comedian on. And I did not know. I did not know that trick right there. Talk about something else.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And how you can do that and how well that works. And man, just crumbled. The whole thing crumbled. Came out of it just defeated and sad. And a little bit angry. And then, of course, you take that and you're like, oh, I see what I did wrong now. And when you can pull that off with someone like that, that you do so well, that, you have such a great talent that, it makes all the difference.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Because if you look at because everybody's on the podcast circuit, on the whatever circuit they're on, and you're seeing their interviews and their sound bites. We had Ilon Levy, who's this self-appointed Israeli spokesperson on the podcast, and everybody, and he's just soundbites. I said, stop. We know. Talk to me. Are you dating anybody? And he's like, it's just this cute little kid, 20, whatever he is. He's adorable. He's a huge hit now and I'm just like, are you on J date? What's going on? Talk to me. Who are you living with? It was that kind of stuff,
No, well, I will tell you, I make no apologies about asking about your special on this one, predominantly because I loved it so much.
Thank you.
I honestly didn't know your audience is so good. And Modi, it was such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks. And all of your listeners, it's going to be available on my website, modilive.com. And that's it. I look forward to seeing anybody at the show. I always tell everybody, be the friend who brings the friends to the comedy show. If you see a comic near you that you like, if you see me coming, buy 6 tickets. Don't buy 2. Buy 6. And by the time the show comes, you'll find 4 friends that need a good laugh. And so be the friend who brings the friends to the comedy show.
My thanks to Modi. The new special is called Know Your Audience. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around so you get 3 interviews just like this one sent to you every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And while you're doing that or not doing that, make sure to give the series a rating. Leave a review if you can. That always helps out so much. After all that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I try to entertain you. Every weeknight, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, you get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Carole King and Buffalo Springfield, Jefferson Airplane, Garbage, Billie Holiday, OMD, Sharon Jones, Cage the Elephant, Vampire Weekend, The Thrills, The Specials, The Cults, Kate Bush, Weird Al Yankovic, The Black Crowes, Pearl Jam, Lucinda Williams, and my interview with Gary Clark Jr., just an example of what you can hear weeknights starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith, and I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
No worries.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors, with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save.